I bought a new car.
Well, we all know about that. You bought a new car.
Did I already tell you that?
You've mentioned it before. But you haven't. No, you were going through the process of buying it.
Yeah. Well,
what happened?
Well, I got it. It was good. And I was signing the deal, and I said to the car salesman, "What's that thing around your wrist?" And he said, "I'm a Buddhist."
Oh, a car salesman's a Buddhist.
It's a good premise for a Kevin enthusiasm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good character.
Straight away, I'm thinking, well, he's not going to rip me off.
You'd hope a Buddhist wouldn't.
You would think that a Buddhist, of all the... I mean, if someone's religious, not ripping someone off is not what they...
Well, I mean, Christians have got a great history of ripping people off. Don't know about that. But that's interesting because you wonder if he brings his philosophy to work, though, or leaves it at home.
It was Dalai Lama Motors in...
So was he nice to deal with, though?
He was very good. He was very good. And he gave me a very good... Well, it felt like... I'm not one of these guys that can... Can you crunch a deal?
No.
Oh, no, man, I'm not...
My partner's always like, oh, did you ask for... You know, I'm like, oh, I'm not in Bali.
Yeah, that's right. Did you say less for cash? No, I don't want to, you know, come across as... But then I'm thinking, you know...
You know what my mother-in-law always says when you buy a car? Did you get a full tank of fuel? Well, make sure they put a full tank of fuel in there. Did you get a full tank?
I did get a fuel tank.
Oh, there you go. There
but he did do that thing where they go... At another car dealer, he goes, oh, the boss has recognised you, so he wants to give you a special deal. And I'm going, bullshit.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Bullshit. He's just saying that you're going to give me a special deal. And the next guy comes in and goes, oh... You know, the boss has bought fish and chips from your fish and chip shop. He's going to give you a whatever angle that they can take.
My brother was telling me about the whole, because I did a car yard on Saturday night, a Christmas party in Adelaide. Hello, everyone from Australian Motors. And
did you really?
Yeah. Not actually in a car yard, in a pub.
But for car dealers?
Car dealers. So they were Mazda, Mitsubishi, Suzuki, and then Isuzu. So... Thank God the principal dealer of Isuzu, Ramsey, was standing down the front, and he was great to hang shit on because Isuzu's down the bottom of the pecking order of those cars.
But not on the night. Surely they think of themselves as equal on the night, don't they?
Yeah, but they still...
We all know.
It's seen as... Yeah. You know, that's like an entry-level principal job, I assume, you know. But my brother was telling me, I was speaking to him when I was in Adelaide, and he just bought a car and said, you've got to talk about the aftermarket. Girls, so they have these women called aftermarket. They used to be called Ming Moles, right? Because Ming would make tinted windows, seat covers, and say, "When did they do this to you? They did this to my brother." When they sell you the car, then they go and send you to the aftermarket woman, who's normally an attractive woman who tries to sell you all the extras.
Well, shit, they did. They rang me.
The tinted windows.
The tinted windows, yeah, for charity. Tinted windows for charity.
What? And my brother said it was a whole process where he goes and he sits down with this woman and she goes, okay, you should really get tinted windows, seat covers, another thing of paint or something, resin on the car. And then he's like, oh, no, I can't afford any of that. And then the manager comes in and goes, now the guy selling the car comes in, it was $5,000 for all of that, right? He goes, I can't afford it. And the sales guy comes in, okay, we'll make it $4,000 for you.
Special.
He's like, I can't afford it. And then the owner of the dealer comes in. It's all like a...
Yeah, it's a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, yeah, he comes in. All right, we'll just make it $2,000 for you.
Special for you. They must run out of tricks.
Yeah, they do. They do. But, I mean, that's a classic thing is that you buy a car and then they add all those extras on.
Well, I said to him, because he was a Buddhist, do I get the reincarnation pack? Shouldn't have done that. But I did make... You know, sometimes when you get a bit overexcited and you've done the deal, so you tend to make a few jokes just to lighten the mood a little bit. He goes, anyway, well, just anything you want out of your old car. I said, there are the keys.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, there's a dead body in the boot. If you can get rid of that for me.
Go Buddhist.
And there's some cash in the glove box, $100 bills. They're counterfeit, so don't worry about using those. And he looked. You know, there's a split second where they're not sure whether you're joking or not. You know, he's just taking it too far. So
you have to go, I'm joking. But I wonder what he's like as a boss, because I remember hearing these guys talking over in a fruit shop going, oh, yeah, I've been working for, like, hippies. And the other guy goes, oh, man, hippies, they're the worst bosses ever. Because, yeah, they try and make it real cool and that, but they're not at all. And then he said, have you ever worked for nuns? And the guy goes, no. Yeah, do you all work for nuns? They're even worse than hippies.
Have you ever worked for? That's a good.
Because hippies have that whole thing where you go into like an organic fruit shop. Oh, wouldn't it be cool working here? But I reckon they'd be they could be really nasty hippies too. I reckon sometimes, like a Buddhist. I reckon a Buddhist could turn.
You reckon a Buddhist could turn?
Yeah, I reckon. All right, I've seen Buddhists. I know someone who says they're a Buddhist, but what they do, how they deal with people, you go, well, that's not very Buddhist.
Well, it's how you like to think of yourself, but in reality, not necessarily are you are aren't that way.
Oh, peace, love. Go and get that, you know. Go and get that pencil for me.
Peace, now, love, go and meditate. After that, go clean the bloody car. The car's good though, but my old car wasn't that up to date, but the new car's got every sensor in the world.
Oh, great. It's got the camera you look at when you're
in reverse, which I didn't have before. I'm a mirrors guy.
Yeah, I'm just a wing it guy.
Yeah, you're good. I've driven. Okay. You're just like, you know, one hand on the steering wheel, park real easy.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
You go down laneways really quick.
My kids describe me as a rally driver compared to their mum.
Yeah, you're really good. But my car went down a laneway in a Melbourne suburb, and it was like it was freaking out. It was going, no, it's too tight. Oh, beep, 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 beep,
really?
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, what's that thing from Star Wars, R2-D2?
R2-D2, yeah.
Getting close. Oh, too many podcasts. No, mirrors.
That's C-3PO, I think. That's the tall one. That's a combination of both of them.
Who was the...
The tall one with a guy inside, with a British actor, was C-3PO.
Oh, R2-D2, he was pretty cool.
The little one. He was a little... That had a dwarf inside it, yeah.
And
they didn't get on. They fought.
Heated seats. I've got heated seats.
Oh, heated seats.
Except you've got to remember to turn them off.
Yeah, you don't want them in summer. You don't want them on a day like today.
Selena loves it. She said, you know, as soon as I get in, I'm going to fall asleep. I went,
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Crank them up. But don't you fall asleep when you're driving, though? That's a problem.
Well, it's got that as well. If I wander... It lets me know if I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it knows the lines on the road.
That's amazing.
So if you wander, it'll bring it back for you.
Yeah.
But it'll only bring it back twice, and then it goes, hey, I'm not going to do the steering for you.
How much was this car? It must be expensive.
For you?
For you? From the Buddhist monk?
From the Buddhist, from Dalai Lama.
I'll just take a couple of bananas and a blessing. Oh, thanks, man.
Here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right. Well, hello and welcome.
Oh.
So, summertime where we are, it's quite warm.
I dare say, well, we can say, I think this week, I know this will probably come out in a couple of weeks, but this week's going to be it's hot all around the country.
It'll be El Scorcho.
And we're in El Scorcho. And I brought in...
El Scorcho. Do you remember The Fast Show? Do you like The Fast Show?
Love. One of the best comedies. That and Big Train.
Yeah.
Probably the two best.
Paul Whitehouse, is it? And they had the El Scorcho sketches where they're like a Portuguese weather person who just would say, El Scorcho, El Scorcho. And Tuesday, El Scorcho. Quite a funny show. You know, my favorite character from that was the guy who thought he was funny in The Office. Oh, you're quite a character. What was his name? I'm off me trolley. Anyway.
Anyway, here we are on a hot day.
Yeah, so.
Somehow related to topics that don't seem to be related but are, and we're your hosts.
And you put in your portable fan.
Well, look, a friend of mine gave me this years ago, and given that it gets quite hot in our studio, a bit tedious for the listeners, I thought, well, here's something I'll never use. But you plug it into the bottom port of your iPhone.
Oh, look, it's a bit... Whoa, you can hear that.
Now I'm blowing. Now you're in a film clip.
It's beautiful.
So if you hear this noise, it means that
it's getting really hot.
It's getting really hot. Or if you get boring with a long story,
yeah, get the fan out. Do the old cough.
But for now, I'll turn it off.
Yeah,
and
we'll leave it off. It's not too bad in here.
It's not too bad.
All right. Well, let's get our topics.
Jeremy Clarkson and Paddington Bear.
Well, they're both very British, aren't they? Have to say, Jeremy Clarkson,
very
British. Known for the odd racist comment.
I'm not a Jeremy Clarkson.
You're a Top Gear fan?
No,
I didn't. I watched the show a few times, but you would watch it, and so there was what, Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond. Yeah, Richard was the little one. Mm. James was the one with the longer hair, and Jeremy Clarkson was the host. But they were very good. Those three together were very
good. They were good. Yeah, I mean, and it's all very well to say it was contrived and, you know, the drama was made up and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But
they were still great.
They pushed for, they never short of a comment, never short of an opinion, and really good information. Yeah. And, you know, always on the front foot. And that's what you need. You don't need people being too nice. You need someone.
Oh,
you know.
I mean, I like him in a way because he just says whatever he likes, but occasionally it can be offensive. He'd be like Sam Newman. Is that kind of...
Well, he kind of says what he wants to say. Didn't he upset the Romanians? Didn't he have to apologise to them? I think he made some sort of race. And he upset the Mexicans,
Prince
saying
Philip?
That...
Prince Philip? He's like a Prince Philip type, isn't he? Just says stuff about it. You know when Prince Philip said... You know they put up books of Prince Philip. Who's the one married to the Queen? Yeah, Prince Philip. Yeah.
Prince Philip, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
And he said to the Romanian guy, oh, you haven't been here too long. You don't have a pot belly. Mate, can't say that.
Are they putting that stuff in the new version of the Crown? Let's hope that it's eventually comes in the Crown. That'd be the promo for the Crown.
The Prince Philip era.
So, Jeremy Clarkson, Top Gear, he's a journalist, isn't he?
He's a motoring journalist.
I think it started like in the 80s, didn't it, Top Gear?
Yeah, it went for, do you reckon it was 80s or 90s? It went for ages, though. And then he got sacked.
What was it on, SBS here?
It was BBC in England. Yeah, it was SBS here, I think.
SBS here, yeah.
But remember, he got sacked for punching a producer.
That was the end of the, yeah, because I think the story goes that he wanted steak and he didn't get the steak that he wanted.
He got a cold meat and he punched the producer.
And there was a producer that he'd worked with. It wasn't like some upstart.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody he knew well.
And he had to be treated in hospital. I remember reading that, the producer. So,
I mean, you've got some serious issues if it comes to blows.
He claimed later that he found out that he had cancer on his tongue, but it wasn't actually cancerous. It was just a lump, but he was in a bad way. But still, you can't be punching the producer because the chef went home. Apparently, the chef went home. And so, you can't be punching the producer because you didn't get your steak. But you know what it's like when you're working all day and you're really looking forward to that.
Mm.
It was like when I was doing my gig for the Car Yard in Adelaide. I was doing the gig and
similar
to Jeremy Clarkson, out there with the people, insulting people, racist comments.
Yep.
And then I'm looking forward to that chicken parmigiana that they had on the menu at the hotel room service.
It was all locked in, wasn't it?
Oh, it's in my brain.
And that's what you think about when the gig's going a bit, because a minute I'm going to be back in my room.
My chicken parmesan.
Watching Netflix, sitting back. Yep. So anyway.
I got my chicken parmesan, even though it was very late. It was an hour. It took an hour.
Yeah, but you got it.
I got it. So I didn't do a Jeremy Clarkson. But I have had occasion where I've gone somewhere to get food and the food's finished after a gig. That's heartbreaking.
And then you go back to
potato chips or something.
You end up eating the mini bar and you have a crunchy bar and a packet of chips and you just go to sleep. It's terrible.
But you can't punch the person. That's no good.
Well, you know what you're doing? You're punching yourself.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing?
You are. You are. You're so angry at the world. Hmm. You're angry at yourself. So you end up punching someone else and then you pay in the long run.
And then, he went up and formed his own, because him and another guy came up with Top Gear. It was his idea. And so they went and got new hosts, didn't they? They got the guy from Friends. They got Joey from Friends, Matt LeBlanc. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And I was approached to do the Australian one.
Oh, were you?
Hmm. I don't know anything about cars.
I reckon doing the Australian versions of shows like that.
Well, what it ends up being is fake friends. You pretend that you're friends with people. You're not. That sort of stuff needs to evolve organically, like you and I doing this.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't. The problem is you can't do an Australian version of a very successful British show, I reckon. It's too hard. Has there ever been a success story here of someone taking off an English format that's been well known here beforehand? Okay, with Spicks and Specs, no one knew Never Mind the Buzzcocks.
Right. So what's your point? Your point is, because Spicks and Specs is a good example of something being very successful that was already
being done in England, a version of, but no one knew that version. No one had seen Never Mind the Buzzcocks.
So is there a version that people know, like The Office, for example?
Oh, well, that's an example of one. That's an American success story.
And that, for mine, didn't work, but for a lot of people, it did work.
Yeah, a lot of people loved it.
Yeah, I'm a purist.
No, I like the British one too. I like the British one.
I can't watch the American one. It just feels quite self-conscious to me. But no, people love it. Yeah. So your point is that shows that we were... Because we're aware of everything now, aren't we?
Because they're always trying to get up an Australian version of Would I Lie to You? But I'm like, why would you do that? Yeah,
I know. Because
that one's so good.
Yeah.
It's like Top Gear was so good. It's just a hiding to nothing, I reckon. That's my opinion.
No, you're right, because people make especially
apparently there's American guys doing this show right now that's not as good as ours.
They have thinking music.
But we both made 800 grand off it, so that was good.
We can selling retire.
No Jeremy wonder you've got a new car.
Clarkson. Steve Vizard gets mistaken for Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, he does look a bit like him.
Yeah.
But also because he's in the media. That's funny that he gets mistaken for Clarkson.
And I think they say, are you Jeremy Clarkson? And sometimes he goes, yeah, like I am. And then does something inappropriate and doesn't get the blame. You know?
Who do you get mistaken for?
I get mistaken for Kim Gingell.
Oh, how fun is that?
You're Colin Carpenter, mate. You are Colin Carpenter. I'm not Colin, I'm Uncle Arthur. No, you're not. Come on, mate. Kim Carpenter. That's
I reckon there's
are.
A whole book in who people get mistaken for.
You get mistaken for who?
Husey. And not so much anymore because I think he's so famous that people know who he is. But they look at me and they go, oh, I know that guy. But I got it the other day.
Katie Lang.
Yep. That's right. I look like Katie Lang. And Peter Hallier I've had before and Mikey Robbins.
So yeah, you're in a family.
You're fat and funny.
You're in a family. You've been categorized fat and funny. So
I was talking to someone else the other day, an actor, and he said he got mistaken for a similar actor. He said it happens all the time with people. Well, I went up to Steve Bisley.
Oh, no.
And thought he was Jack Thompson. So, I mean, you know what I mean? They're in a similar world. So, I know how it happens.
I brought on Rita Rudner. And first time she was in Australia, I brought her on at La Joke and called her Gilda Radner.
Oh.
See how they sound similar?
Yes.
And Gilda Radner was dead. She had died.
I love Rita Rudner.
Rita Rudner's fantastic.
She's people that may not remember, but she was big. She was very big. She lived in Australia in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
She moved here because she married an Australian or an Englishman who lived in Australia.
What was that joke she used to do? I used to do ballet until I pulled a groin. It wasn't mine.
I got a new car. My husband said, what sort is it? I said, it's a red one.
I wonder what she's doing now. I guess
she did Vegas for a long time. So she had her own room in Vegas, her own theatre.
She's a lovely person and very funny.
She's big on Hey Hey. She's big on Hey Hey.
Gilda Radner was also very funny.
Yeah.
But she sadly passed away. She was not dead. She's, imagine her having to re-qualify who she was after I brought her on.
I've thought of who told me the other day. Mike Larkin, the Channel 10.
You got mistaken for Mike Larkin.
No, I was in a studio with him the other day at radio, and he said that he gets mistaken for Dr. Carl from Neighbours all the time.
Dr. Carl from
Neighbours. They do look similar.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They look similar. They're similar age. They're both on the same network. Yeah.
Look, I know everyone can't go to the Logies, but when I do go to the Logies, you see a lot of people in the urinal.
And you don't know who they are. They sort of
run. They'll say to me, oh, I love what you do. And then apparently they're famous. And people go, did you know who that was? And I'm like, he's the big guy from whatever.
I did a gig for, again, another outstanding gig in an appliance warehouse the other day, showroom.
Yeah.
This guy had opened up a new, pretty amazing, you know where you go and pick a fridge and pick a stove and pick tiles? Well, I was doing a gig in the middle of that. Don't be jealous. And there were this very attractive
reality show. It's just screaming reality. A year in the life of Dave O'Neill is a winner.
And there was a very attractive young couple. And I go, gee, look at you guys. Are you models or you should be on TV? And the guy's just laughing. They were from the block. I don't even know.
Yeah. There's a lot of...
should be on TV.
There's your A graders. Then there's your B graders. A lot of C graders out there.
Oh, there's a lot of people that go, yeah, I was on MasterChef. I came fourth. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I worked with a girl who was on Big Brother. And I was probably Big Brother 6.
Yeah.
And
you didn't know her?
Didn't know her. But there's a whole group of them out there that just seem to pop up randomly if something bad... Because they're feeding off Instagram, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Jeremy Clarkson, what else can we... Look, he's punchy.
Yeah.
He's good at what he does. Mm. What's he do now? He does a show called...
They had that show on Amazon, didn't they? Or one of the big... Where they would drive around. It was another driving...
Driving around things going wrong.
Yeah, around the world in 80 days.
It does annoy me when you go, that's not true what you're doing. Just doing that for the... But, you know, it's a conceit that you forgive them for. And then the other short guy's done his own shows. And the other guy
James May's great. He did a show about toys. He did a great show about toys where he goes back to all childhood toys. And He did Meccano, he did Lego. It was really interesting.
What did he do? He like this show. They look into the
derivation. They look into Lego, and then he went to a house built out of Lego. Someone built a house out of Lego.
Sounds like your recent trip to.
Yeah, got to say later, James, the Lego designer. He listens to this podcast while sweeping the leaves. How Danish is that?
It's a good thing to do. Can you listen to a podcast and do something at the same time? Yes, you can.
Yeah, driving.
Driving's the best. Walking's good.
Walking's good.
Going to sleep.
Anyway, well, let's move on to Paddington Bear. I think we've said enough about Jeremy Clarkson.
Paddington Bear.
How old do you reckon Jeremy Clarkson is? Here's a quiz. How old do you reckon he is? I know how old he is.
I reckon he would be late 50s.
He's 60. See, okay. I just thought in my mind he's a lot older than me or you. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's older than us.
Yeah. Eric worked with him on his documentary, Eric Banner.
Oh.
He was in his doco.
Yeah, right.
Found out what he was. Oh, I'm sure.
Enter the Beast.
If you
Enter the Beast.
Put him on a microphone right now.
Oh, he'd be charming.
And he would deliver.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. When the red light goes on, delivering.
He'd get up and punch you, though. He'd bang, whack, whack, whack.
He wouldn't hesitate giving you
a bit of a whack. Okay.
Well, he maybe had that for Think Music, actually, because he was on, he talked about it on Graham Norton recently.
Talk about what?
Being punchy.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so maybe that's some music we can have of him talking about. Anyway, so Paddington Bear. Paddington Bear,
did it pass you by or did you have...
Pass me by. Maybe
you're a bit old, I reckon, for Paddington. I reckon you're a little bit... Because he was around...
70s?
Yeah, 70s, but very British.
70s, so I would have been in secondary school in the
70s. Yeah, see, I remember Paddington, but Kieran, my partner... loved Paddington, and they had all the books and watched the TV show and stuff because it had a really old fashioned TV show where was narrated.
Did they speak like that?
Yeah, they did, and it said Paddington.
It went down the
and it had that very basic animation.
Paddington like picture book stuff.
Yeah. Paddington went down the shops.
So he didn't exist as like an anime as a.
No, he was a kids book first.
A kids book. So basically, the TV show
huge
was,
kids book. Michael Bond. And I remember the kids books.
Did he wear pants?
Paddington wear pants? Good question.
I
don't think he does. He just wears a hat. He wears a hat and a vest maybe and wanders around.
Did I read it correctly that they named him after Paddington Station?
Yeah, because that's in the book. So what happens?
Oh, is it? Right.
He's like a refugee, man. He's a refugee. Paddington's a refugee. Oh, and it's been used in, Michael Bond, the writer, has used him in, let him be used in refugee campaigns because he came from Peru, right? And then he just got to Paddington Station and then the lovely family just met him at the station and adopted him. And they said, what's your name? And he looked out and saw the sign and went, oh, Paddington's my name. So, they call him Paddington Bear.
So now you could buy a Paddington Bear.
Oh, yeah, my kids.
From the drawing. So they would have created them from the drawing.
Oh, absolutely. And you can go to Paddington Station and you can get your photo taken. There's a statue of Paddington on the seat there and you get your photo taken next to Paddington Bear. We went there.
You know how you do gigs.
Yeah.
I did a gig for the police.
Mm-hmm.
Smart thing to do.
Yes.
Trust me.
Yeah.
You know what they gave me?
What?
A police bear.
Oh, yeah. They've got a cute police bear. Yeah. I've seen it. I have seen it. Like a teddy bear in a police uniform.
Yeah. I'm going to save it for the grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice thing to do.
But Paddington was, and now he's had a massive resurgence with those two movies. Have you seen the Paddington movies?
No. Have you seen them? Your kids like them?
They're fantastic.
Well, they're a bit. Are they genuine? Is it all sweet stuff?
No,
is it genuine? It's drama. Very good.
It's sort of genuine drama because the first one's when they get him home and he ruins the bath and stuff. And the old guy down the road has all these great actors in it. It's got like Hugh Bonneville.
But hang on, doing voices or doing?
No, the bear's actually animated, but it looks real.
So like that other movie about the teddy bear.
Oh, it's like Ted. Yeah, exactly like Ted. Yeah. Yeah.
The one line, I've not seen that either.
Oh, that's funny. It's a bit rude, but it's funny. Yeah. That's the guy to Family Guy, isn't it? Yeah. It's the guy to Family Guy. But Paddington Bear, so the first movie had Nicole Kidman in it as the evil person.
Wow.
Yeah. And the second movie, was worth it to see Hugh Grant's performance because Hugh Grant plays an actor called Hugh who's, over the hill and has an attic where he has all these caricatures and he does plays and stuff. And he's Paddington Bear's enemy. In this.
So that you need an enemy.
But Hugh Grant is so funny.
Does he confront something in himself that he overcomes? That's a waste
Hugh
of story.
Hugh Grant or the
no,
bear?
No, the bear. Does he confront something? Is he missing something in his character?
Yes, he's missing. Well, he's missing his home in Peru. That's where he's from.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and then he learned that he's really loved or something where he
he's
is.
He's really loved by his. Yeah, that's true. I think he wants to. He goes to prison for some reason in the second one, which is very funny scenes in prison.
Wouldn't be good if you're a bear in prison. I'm going to mess
well,
you up.
Well, bear is a slang term in the gay world for a large man, hairy man like myself.
Is it?
Yeah, you get called a bear. You're a bear.
Well, as I told you, I work with Humphrey B. Bear.
Oh, yeah.
At a golf day. And I went into the change rooms and he had his pants on. He had the furry bottoms on and he had his top off and he was having a smoke.
Yeah.
And he goes to me, fucking hot out there, isn't it? I'm going, Humphrey, not appropriate. Number two, you're smoking. Fucking hot out there.
Fucking hot out there. I've been inside the fat cat costume.
Have you?
Yeah, they had it on full frontal and they needed someone to get in the costume, and I did it. And we filmed at the Melbourne jail.
But you got really hot.
Oh, it was really hot.
It's amazingly hot, isn't it?
I had to be in that costume in the padded room. There used to be this padded room in the... Oh, it's a scary place, Melbourne jail.
Oh, in the padded room. You filmed in the padded room.
Yeah.
None of them happened twice.
So there's the Melbourne jail, but next to it is the... I think it's called the old magistrates, and in that they've got jail cells, and that's where it was. Oh, scary.
Did Paddington Bear have a favourite food? Marmalade,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, marmalade sandwiches.
Marmalade sandwiches. See, marmalade is not a sandwich spread, is it, in Australia?
No, it's very British.
Very
like an orange spread, basically. It's like an orange.
You could have marmalade toast, but you can't have marmalade sandwich.
Yeah, he had marmalade sandwiches, yeah.
And didn't he do an ad for Marmite or something?
Oh, probably.
I think he swung to Marmite and it threw people out, yeah. Because Marmite is their Vegemite, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My kids have that too. You can buy Marmite here. It's nice Marmite, actually. But Paddington's very funny. The movies are very good.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It's directed by the guy who did The Mighty Boosh. Remember The Mighty Boosh?
Yeah.
He was the
tall
director.
Guy?
No, none of those guys that were in it. The director guy.
Oh, okay. Same guy.
I don't know who it is, but... But it is very...
It would be fun to take a character that's well-established and then just subvert him slightly, without compromising the character, just to introduce some things that could undermine the character, which would be fun, I reckon.
Mm.
Anyway. Mm,
would be fun.
Paddington Bear...
You should do the Humphrey B. Bear movie. Humphrey B. Bear, you could do Humphrey B. Bear, you know, like the poor years, the years where he was not getting work, living in a caravan.
Poor Humphrey. He didn't have any pants.
He had no pants. No, he had a vest.
He had a vest.
And a hat.
And everything was just dancing around.
Oh, yeah.
Those berries are working for you, aren't they? What sort of berries you're taking?
Humphrey B. Bear was very popular, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I have to say, in terms of famous bears, you've got...
Yogi.
In Australia, Yogi... Get your hands out of that picnic basket, boo-boo.
Oh, you
love
your Yogi impressions
Bear.
Are pretty good. You can maybe do a Dave Does Impressions show for the company.
Good show, yeah. Okay, I'm going to do Yogi
Brax.
Bear.
Do Braxy?
Oh, g'day, everyone. Hello, welcome. That's about it.
Hughesy?
Hughesy, yeah, all right.
Could you...
Just trying to get a reaction. Don't make me angry.
What did he used to say? Oh, you're a great audience.
You're a really great audience. Don't forget that.
All good catchphrases.
Yeah, oh, look... That's about it where my impressions stop, though. And there's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yes.
Did you see the Winnie the Pooh movie?
No, again.
You don't have to.
And plus, I didn't read the book. I'm way out of touch.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh's great. It's got a lot of...
You're good.
Winnie the Pooh's got a lot of... it's quite thoughtful and pathos. It's got a lot of pathos in Winnie the Pooh.
Would you have read that to your kids?
Yeah, we read Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh, because you've got all these crazy characters. They reckon Seinfeld's like Winnie the Pooh. It's got all the four... classic characters. So Winnie the Pooh's the kind of the depressed one. You got Eeyore's depressed one. Winnie the Pooh's the kind of one in between.
Right.
Then you got the one that jumps up and down. I can't remember his name. The kangaroo or whatever. It's got
the Kramer character.
But the Kramer character. Yeah. But there is a movie with Hugh McGregor in it that's been released in the last couple of years, and we even saw it. And it's half Winnie the Pooh, really cute, then half midlife crisis Hugh McGregor movie. It's kind of a weird movie. It's weird. You know where they've gone in and said, this is not just going to be a kid's movie. It's going to be a movie about a man in crisis coming back from the war, rediscovering his youth. Whereas at least the Paddington Bear movies are just funny. They're just really funny.
But does it last 90 minutes, though?
Oh, yeah, Paddington Bear definitely does. It's really good.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the second one's great. I swear. I swear.
Mm.
Okay, so Winnie the Pooh, Yogi Bear, Paddington Bear, Humphrey B. Bear, They're all the famous bears, aren't they, really? Can you think of any other bears?
There's an American bear in the, like a forest bear or something. He's part of some campaign of being safe.
Oh, yes, you're right, with a hat on, yeah.
Yeah.
Smokey Bear.
That's it, well done.
Smokey Bear.
And they're not famous, but Gary Larson did make bears.
Yeah.
Kind of, a bit famous.
Yeah.
He did some great
characters. Cody Locks and the Three Bears.
God Locks the Three Bears, yeah. Mm,
classic story.
Anything more we can say?
No, I think we've done it.
Do you want
to? I always remember, you know what I think of God Locks and the Three Bears? Mick Molloy told this story. You know Captain Cook Cottage?
In Fitzroy Gardens in Melbourne.
So it was Captain Cook's parents' original cottage in England, and they gave it to Australia as a gift, and they rebuilt it in this park in Melbourne. It's an historical cottage. Mick Molloy used to live there once, and he was coming home drunk one night, broke into the cottage and fell asleep in the bed.
One bed, two
hours. That sounds like Goldilocks.
One bed, it was just, it's amazing.
I know. He sort of told it in passing, like, that's an incredible story that you broke into Captain Cook's cottage.
There's no doubt that there's a...
There's no doubt that's true.
That's true. And Mick Molloy does have, when he writes his biography,
It's
going to
be explosive. You'll feature in it.
Not much.
Not a lot. But
I mean, I should be interviewed because I got stuff on him.
Yeah, you got stuff on him.
He rang me one day. I've told you that story when he rang me and we're on tour.
No.
Can you come around and iron my shirt?
Iron your shirt.
And while I was there, I had to put a load of washing on for him and shake out his underpants and put a bit of talcum powder in them. It was just not appropriate.
All right, so we have some thinking music.
Thinking music. Mm-hmm. And I reckon we should go with Jeremy Clarkson on Graham Norton talking about him being a little bit punchy.
Yeah, great.
Jeremy Clarkson, you're not shy with an opinion. How badly has it backfired? How bad have reactions been?
Oh, shocking. I mean, I had to punch Piers Morgan. I broke my finger on him.
Did you really punch him?
That is a broken finger on Piers Morgan. If I don't get a round of applause for that. Oh.
Were you drunk?
I just come off Call My Bluff. You can't be more sober than that. You know, doing dictionary words. Walking, I thought, it's Piers Morgan. He is just a waste of blood and organs, that man. So, listen. Anyway, but no, my best was... I got pied.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever had a custard pie in your face? It was a...
No.
I turned to her. When she got me, that was a bloody good shot. But she put too much sugar in it. It was a banoffee pie, so I thought that was quite kind.
I quite like that.
Exactly. She was an environmentalist.
Yes.
And she didn't like me. But actually, I had an even better bunch of environmentalists recently who threw horse crap over my garden gate into my rose bed.
That's handy.
As a protest.
Thank you.
Exactly. Well, thanks a lot. You've just made my roses fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and drive my Range Rover around a bit more and come through some water.
Your garden for you.
Basically, they're fertilising my garden.
I think being environmentalists, they might have known that.
Exactly. And then shoving a rather delicious, if slightly oversugared, custard pie in my face. So, yes, I spend most of my life being beaten up.
Graham Norton's good.
Oh, he's very good.
He doesn't hesitate in asking the going there. Because he can't not go there. But he didn't talk about the state guy, but he talked about, because he punched Piers.
Oh yeah, Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan.
Piers Ackerman. Piers Morgan, one of those Piers. One of the right wing journalist guys.
Yeah.
He punched him in the eye, above the eye, and he's still got a scar there, he reckons.
Yeah. He was the one that the Australian fast bowler bowled at and nearly killed him. I'm pretty sure it was him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was a bit of a complaint about it because he was actually trying to hit him, and therefore it's not a good message for the kids out there to actually try to kill someone.
Well, you've had Warney bowl at you, and it's quite scary, isn't it?
Well, Warney still bowls quite quick, but the ball is spinning. It's making a noise as it goes in front of you. It's spinning so fast, and then it hits the ground, and it can go any one of 10 different ways.
Yeah.
And you start laughing because you have no idea what it's about to do. In cricketing terms. And then if you hit it, Warney will go, yeah, shot. It feels good when you do that.
Let me tell you that my friend Sam grew up in Doveton, a very, working class family, but got a cricket scholarship to Mentone Grammar. The same year, there was one other boy who got a cricket scholarship, Shane Warne.
Mm.
And I guess Sam stopped cricket after that.
Yeah.
Got there, saw that guy, went, yeah, you know what? I'm not that good.
Mm.
Became an academic. Anyway... What are you thinking?
I'm thinking Jeremy Clarkson, given... I'm thinking that...
I think he's punched Paddington Bear. I think maybe he's punched Michael Bond, the author.
I think he invested in Paddington Bear.
Ah.
I think Michael Bond is a mate of his or a relative or something, and they came along early and said, I've got this idea for a... I'm not sure whether he... I'm going to say he invested in the Paddington Bear bear, not the book. So he said, I'm going to do a line of bears. And what do you think? You want to come in at the ground floor? And he said his £5,000 or something ended up making. Because I dare say it's worth a lot of money now.
It'd be a fortune.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go with he punched Michael Bond or one of his kids. Or I don't know. I reckon
he did something aggressive. Oh, that's good.
Towards one of the
That's good.
Bonds. Should we find out?
Yes, please.
The first Paddington Bear stuffed toy to be manufactured was created in 1972 by Gabrielle Designs, a small business run by Shirley and Eddie Clarkson, with the prototype made as a Christmas present for their children Joanna and Jeremy Clarkson. Paddington Bear creator Michael Bond got wind of the bears being sold after a shopkeeper in Surrey, England got in contact with him. Bond planned to sue the Clarksons for copyright infringement, but in the lift on the way up to his lawyer, he ran into the Clarksons and struck up a conversation. Bond said, I got in the lift with Shirley and Eddie. They were terribly nice and pretended it had all been a mistake and we were friends. By the time we got out of the lift, I gave them a license. The Clarksons went on to produce millions of bears, and it was from this fortune that Eddie and Shirley were able to give their son Jeremy the leg up he needed to get a private school education and more opportunities thanks to the money. Shirley Clarkson told Auto Trader magazine that if it hadn't been for Paddington Bear, Jeremy Clarkson wouldn't have had the career he has today.
Well, that's a wonderful story. Michael Bond sounds like a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a lovely guy. When you hear him being interviewed, he seems like such a nice person.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I wonder if they knew who he was. I guess they would have known.
Yeah, he would have been in the press and stuff, yeah. Especially if you're getting sued by someone, you'd reckon you'd...
I got threatened by the American Uncle Arthur.
That's right.
For putting in bedtime stories. If I ever went into the American market, which I didn't, he was going to take me to court. Imagine Uncle Arthur getting up in court. I swear by the man of God to do the very tell the truth all the time.
It's terrible, isn't it? That's an amazing story, though. It's so good, though, that they sorted it out. Like, they were obviously just doing something they thought was nice and cute, but they all... They started to make money out of it. It's wrong to do that to proper
I've had it done to me
idea.
With people put out Russell Coit videos. They put me on sporting ads. They put my head on it.
Terrible.
This is what Aussies do. Aussies bet like other Aussies, and they just put a picture of me up. And what happens is that you send them a letter, cease and desist, but they still get what they want from it for nothing.
Because they've used it.
It's already, we'll take it down.
That's a dirty trick, isn't it?
Yeah. I went to the local school fete and they were selling Uncle Arthur badges.
Were they?
Yeah. And I went...
Hey, come on. Pack that up.
And I felt bad because they shat themselves. I said, you can't be doing that. Imagine that. You're selling the badges. I happen to live around the corner and you happen to get...
funny.
It is funny. I mean, what are they making?
And what do they say?
And I went, it's for... And I shouldn't have said anything. But it was...
That's funny.
It's funny. It's just...
And you got a cut of the profits. You got... $20.
Well, let's just say I pop around regularly and there's a little envelope handed to me at the front door and everybody was happy. So there you go. Well, good on you, Jeremy. Or good on you, Jeremy Clarkson's. Well, Jeremy Clarkson's just the winner because he didn't do anything.
To do with it.
He just got the fruit of that. Because if you give someone the license fee for something, license something to someone, like for this show, that we're doing right now. License fee for this would be hundreds of dollars.
You don't want to say no to this kind of show. Not like my friend JR, who was I went to school with his daughters. JR was offered the license for KFC in Australia, and he said famously, I couldn't imagine Australians eating deep fried chicken.
Yeah. A friend of mine was offered Bole. Was it not Bole? What's the one that cricketers used to wear? The sunglasses?
Oh, yeah. But it might be Bowler. Yeah,
might be Bowler.
Said no?
Well, no, that was offered to a surfing company, and he worked at the surfing company, and the surfing company said, no, we've got our own glasses.
Oh, yeah.
He went, I'm going to do this from my garage, and made a huge amount of money.
Oh, really?
It was Bowler, yeah.
But imagine being offered a thing that's no good, like, say, the Chimera. You remember the Chimera? It was the Holden. He had the Commodore, and then the Chimera. It was an unsuccessful brand. Imagine being the guy that, you know, came up with that idea and was, you know, trying to market that.
Yeah. It's just, it's, who knows what it's going to be? Why is a niche going to be
a niche? You can't tell.
But seriously, there must be investors out there who think about this show going.
Oh, yeah, they're somehow related.
We come in with the big dollars.
Yeah.
And you're going to get Uncle Arthur and the guy from which I did. Who
Spicks and Specs. 55 times.
And the voice of Superannuation.
That's it. Voice of Super. So, and star of the Australian Motors Car Yard gig on Saturday night in Adelaide. So, you know,
we'd love a sponsor, wouldn't we?
If I walk down the street and see someone in a homemade somehow related t-shirt, I will be ripping it off them and claiming it. I haven't yet to see it, though.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll set it up. We'll get someone to wear it, and then we'll beat them up. We won't really beat them up. And then we'll get people to photograph that.
Yeah, and get some press, like Jeremy Clarkson. Press,
get on the 6 o'clock news and going, comedy duo, Robbins and O'Neill were seen today bashing a person wearing the T-shirt, which was not allowed, and then we'll get on the news.
Yeah. Good. That's old school.
It's
old
either school that or we do something in a public toilet inappropriate with it, wearing the T-shirts. Which I've done before. No, I haven't.
Well, yeah. In the local